This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Live from the Accessible Media Studios, this is Kelly and Ramya. Entertainment, lifestyle, and great conversation. It's AMI's on-air community, and everyone's invited.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Kelly McDonald here.
And Ramya Amadhin in Toronto.
I'm hanging out in the London, Ontario home studio. Today got the trademark, of course, fedora on, gray. Week off here on Kelly and Ramya has finally tried curling. Curling for the blind if the Toronto outfit. Hi to those guys if any of them are watching. All right, it's assessment time. How did it go?
Very, very well. We had a lot of fun. There are some seasoned veterans out there curling. They've been in Toronto 7+ years, doing an amazing job. But our coach, John, spent basically the entire time with me, positions and the concept of the game, because I'd never done it, right? It only right. talked yep. about it. And even then, you can talk about sports all you want, but you have no idea exactly how it goes. I thought it was fun. I thought it was very, very fun.
So what things did you enjoy the most? The throw, the kind of the thought of the game, going down to the house and seeing where your stone ended up, how close to the button, what?
Yeah, I enjoyed learning about how the game is adapted for blind and low vision players. So, you know, guides on the ice, people describing where your stone's going, the in-turn, the out-turn, just everything yep. that makes curling feel accessible and, you know, catered to you, because it is a spectrum of people playing. Not everyone's blindfolded like in other sports. You have people anywhere from very high, visual seers. People who could see much more, all the way down to people who have zero sight. So your right. skills are changing. The way that you adapt as a team is different based on how many players you have of each kind. And yeah, I learned a lot.
Yeah, there's different levels, folks, when people are playing curling, if you're, the grading's B1, B2, so on, and kind of, you know, who can, the position of throwing and who can sweep. You don't want to be sweeping and end up falling over a stone. So that's awesome. That's awesome. It sounds like you really had a great time. And I'm sure with some of the folks there that were at the club showing you some great throws and really I love the cunningness when you have to think about am I doing a takeout or how close to the button am I, how where are they and what am I going to do. So a lot of fun. If you haven't checked out any blind curling, ladies and gentlemen, do it this weekend. What para games is that? What's
Parasport
going on?
Para games, yes. Four teams in Ontario that are part of the tournament. I'm very excited to see in Durham region.
There's a lot going on, lots of different sports. So check it out. A lot of fun. Let's check it out today, what we've got coming up today on Kelly and Ramya. Who's making their way to the Super Bowl? That's a question you're going to ask. Well, Brock Richardson, he'll tell us in his sports update shortly.
More sports. The Arctic Winter Games are officially underway. And community reporter from Dawson City, Yukon, Kim Hovey is giving us the details.
As Jeff Ryman said in our meeting, you can never have too much sports. That's never a bad thing. Danielle McLaughlin continues her discussion with us on celebrating various religious and cultural holidays. This week, we talk about accommodations for their religious practices, but those religious practices may conflict with workplaces or school rules. That conversation in hour two right here on Kelly and Ramya. So let's get into this conversation, which will spur something quite interesting, something we've talked about on the program before. Advocates and business owners in the beverage industry say new guidance for drinking alcohol could speed up changing consumer drinking habits as younger generations actually drink less and non-alcoholic beverages become more popular.
A report released earlier this month by the Canadian Centre on Substance Abuse and Addiction, funded by Health Canada, stirred up widespread attention when it said that having more than two drinks per week constituted a moderate health risk due to evidence linking alcohol to cancer. That was a big change from previous guidance that said men could have up to 15 drinks per week with low risk and women up to 10. Some in the drink and hospitality industry are critical of the new guidelines, although they don't dispute the need for moderation in alcohol consumption. Businesses say the new guidelines won't bring about the end of the beverage industry, but they may speed up the shift in consumer habits towards non-alcoholic cocktails that were already underway. Lori Paris, The Canadian Press.
We on the program with Mary and others have talked about those mocktails.
Yes.
We find that a lot of people are having so much fun with them, Ramya, coming up with the creations that people would at one time, of course, and probably still do with alcohol. But this is taking it what seems to me to be a newer level. I don't drink a lot, you know, any sodas or anything like that. So I'm curious, as someone who can go out and have fun, have you started to make that switch? And are you preferring, is there a difference when it comes to you having non or alcoholic beverages?
I think it's the creativity that probably is driving in the business, because for mocktails, you can think of it as, yeah, cocktails without the alcohol, right? That's one way to think about it. But when you do it that way, you're thinking, well, why would you pick the drink without the alcohol? You might as well just have the regular version.
But especially if the price is the same.
Yeah. However, what I'm seeing more and more of is not necessarily like a mojito, but without the rum, or a margarita without right. tequila, but actually seeing creative drink formulas. And that being the center reason, the point at which I would order a mocktail, you know, like, oh, that sounds fun.
Think about how that could change the market.
Yes.
When there doesn't have to be an age, any of that stuff. You know, only thing you've got to watch is how many sugar beverages.
Well,
and,
yeah.
and again, you can also make a lot of healthier drinks that way too, where you don't have the alcohol involved. And you would wonder, is it possible? More flexibility, more creative. We'll think about that. We'll probably mention that again, certainly very soon on the program. Up next, folks, a couple of new apps were announced on the Blind Shell Classic 2. Michael Babcock stopped by to explain more in his tech talk next.
Don't miss a minute. Kelly and Ramya will be right back.
Do me a favor, folks, when you have a moment, follow us on Twitter. Of course, you can follow at Kelly and Ramya. Of course, that's no big deal. We need more of you out there doing that. But you can also follow Ramya at All Rams with a Z. Myself at AMI Kelly Mac. We'll always love to hear from you and appreciate you being out there and taking some time to follow along and keep up with what's happening here on the programs and get into many great conversations. As mentioned, I'm at the London, Ontario home studio, Ramya Muthan at the main office on main campus in Toronto.
And because it's Monday, let's start off the week with some tech news updates and even some features to highlight. Let's bring on Michael Babcock.
App news, device reviews, security advice, and more. It's time to talk tech with me, Michael Babcock. Get your dose of ever-changing technology knowledge right here on Kelly and Ramya.
So, Michael, we got to many things, as we always do every week, but there are certain things we just had to keep on the table for next week, and next week is now. So let's start with this one. New apps were announced on the Blind Shell Classic 2 phone. What we can all use, so what are some of the apps?
Yeah, so first of all, appreciate you guys having me. I'm a little warmer now. It warmed up to 4 degrees here, and I woke up at -6 Celsius. So, you know, fun times. So I got excited last week because the newest app on the Blind Shell Classic 2 was announced. And this is an app that a lot of people have been asking for, and I'm seeing it be used more in the different places that I'm going. So I will get to it. Zoom is now available on the Blind Shell Classic 2, which is awesome because people have now the choice of joining from the Zoom app or joining in a by making a phone call and joining in. Bard in the US was announced. There is the desire for Sela, and I know the Blind Shell team is working hard to try to get Sela on the Blind Shell as well. And BBC Sounds was recently released. I have not played with BBC Sounds, but it's my understanding that there's a lot of podcast content and live content in there. And then the last app that I'll mention is ARX Vision was also added. And what ARX Vision will do will allow you to connect the blind shell to the ARX Vision headset and describe scenes, scan documents, read text, identify faces, search for objects, and more, according to their website. And so all of these great apps are available now on the blind shell, and I'm intrigued to see how people react to some of the future apps, because I just can see blind shell going some interesting places with some of the future apps, and we'll keep you informed about them.
Fantastic. I really love the BBC one would have me interested, because I used to always check out BBC, the radio plays and things like that. So mm-hmm. I would be that guy to wonder, hey, is that there? But there's so many useful things. And of course, the audiobooks with Bard and so on. All right, Michael, somebody says, hey, I want to get these apps, get it set up on my Blind Shell Classic. Can you walk us through that process of finding the apps and getting set up?
Yeah, so you start where I tell everyone to start, and that is at the home screen. And how you get there is by pressing and holding the back button directly above number 3. It feels like a slanted line, and the phone will then say the time. So then we press our down button, which is to the left of that back button, and that'll open the main menu. And then we press number 4 to jump down to applications without having to keep pressing down, and then press OK. And this will take you into your list of applications. If you press up once, you'll then get to the app catalog. And when you're at the app catalog, you press that OK button. Again, it's above number 1. And then you choose OK on the browse catalog option. Now, currently, and I say currently because this could change at any point, the recently added option is number 3. So you can either press down to get to recently added and press OK, or press the number 3 on your keypad, and this will highlight recently added. When you press OK, this will show the latest apps on the that's been added to the app catalog, from the most recent to older. And my phone right now shows, I think, 10 of them on there. And when you find the app you want to install, you press OK, and then you choose OK on install application. And the application will then be available on your phone, and you can get it from the app catalog or from the folder that it installed the app to.
Really great detailed orientation. Now, are there any tips we should consider while setting up the apps?
Yeah, a lot of these apps have been created for touch in a lot of cases. So the apps were, well, not all of them, but like Zoom, where it was brought over. It was initially created for touch interface, or Bard, when it was brought over, it was created for a touch interface. So every once in a while, you will hear the phone say double tap to activate, and you can't double tap on a non-touch screen phone. So to eliminate any sort of confusion, you press the OK button to activate, or if it says double tap and hold, you press and hold the OK button. So keep that in mind, because that can get confusing. And then the last thing that I will mention is that you need to explore the whole screen, especially if you're like, I know it should be here. Where do I go to get that information? And sometimes that means you got to press up and down to get around the screen. A lot of these apps are treated like web pages. So if you press number 3, that'll change you to control. And I find that to be a good way to get a quick summary of an app, because you press number 3 and then down, and it takes you to all the different controls in that mm-hmm. application. So just be willing to explore when you install something new.
So what things like what you're telling us, the directions, the way to how do you find that information? Somebody listening now saying, oh my gosh, that's a lot of little notes to remember to get around. Mm-hmm. Where do you direct them, Michael?
So I have a good, well, I say so myself a little bit, with some YouTube content on my YouTube channel. If you search for Payon Media, it'll pop right up. Their user guide is great, and it is built into the Blind Shell phone. It's option number 6 in that main menu that we first talked about. And you can go in there and read through. Some users do find it to be overwhelming, because it is split mm-hmm. up into categories, and you have to press OK to go into a category. And if you don't know the basics of navigating the phone, you don't understand how to get like the next information that you're trying to learn. Lastly, your distributor who you purchased the blind shell from is available to come in and give you access to the manual. And then Blind Shell USA offers a Talking Points webinar every other Thursday, and they offer Blind Shell 101 and beyond in the ACB community every Monday morning at 1 p.m. Eastern. And you can go to acb.community to get information about the ACB community and how to join that.
Fantastic. That's really powerful. Okay. You can have Siri read text messages to you. Can you share how to accomplish this?
Yeah, so on your cell phone, and then we're going over to the iPhone now since it's Siri, you want to make sure that you have some AirPods connected. Go into settings and then go to notifications and then go to messages and turn on announce notifications. And you can also change the ability to reply to messages without having to trigger Siri with the hey and then insert the name that I just said that I won't repeat for you. And so what that means is if you're sending a message and, for example, Demasi sends me a message and says, hey, I need information about this order. I can, without saying, hey, S, I can just say reply and then send him the voice message, well, the dictated text message that I want to send him. Often this is useful when my hands are busy, or more importantly, when my hands are wet, like I'm doing dishes and I just need to reply to a message real quick.
Yep. Yeah, I love this, especially in the winter, because you could just be completely hands-free. How can we, let's keep moving with these rapid-fire tips. How can we improve our sound quality for phone calls with mic mode and AirPods?
Yep. So when you're on a call that supports this, I've used it on FaceTime audio and I've used it on FaceTime video calls. And I believe it's also supported on Clubhouse and Zoom. You three finger flick up from the status bar. What that'll do is open your control center and then you'll find the call and it'll say AirPods. And if you flick down once with one finger, you can go to more actions for AirPods and then you can change the sound mode and have it pick up where it isolates your voice and picks up less of the background noise. Of course, you know, it works. So keep it in mind. Your experience can vary depending on your background noise.
So is this only for Wi-Fi related calls, for lack of a better term?
No.
Okay.
No, my understanding is that it'll work on traditional calls as well.
Oh, sick. Okay.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. What other tips while using AirPods do you have?
So one of the tips that I have while using AirPods is not all notifications are treated the same. So if you get a WhatsApp notification that says microphone emoji, it's probably not a microphone emoji. It's someone sent you a voice clip. So just be aware of that. And Siri is reading to you what it thinks you want to hear. And then, just remember, you know, if you're standing in the kitchen doing dishes, and I say this from personal experience, you can just shout out, hey, S person, send a message to someone. It'll ask you if that's the message you actually want to send. And if that's the person you want to send it to, you just confirm it. And then you're able to do all of that hands-free. And lastly, if you haven't bought AirPods yet and you're thinking like I did for a while until I got my first pair, I don't need these. I got my cheap earbuds and they work just fine and they're Bluetooth and stuff. Try the AirPods out. It's a different experience with Siri.
No, come on, get off my back. I got them Saturday. Settle down.
You're going to love them because it's true.
I haven't taken them out of the box yet, but you guys have assured me, and I am totally novice. I hate to say, as much as I'm an audio person, I am totally novice. I have everybody else telling me, well, do this or do that, you know, but I'm very anxious to explore and be, you know, the first time I lose them and get into that panic and I gotta go back to Apple.
Almost
I gotta go back
to Apple. Almost.
Yes.
Exactly. Find my as your friend, Kelly. Find my as your friend.
You betcha. All set. And they kept telling me that at the Apple store.
Yes. Okay, keep it going. I love this feature, and I love when people share tips on how to use it. So sometimes we need to copy the last thing our screen readers read to us to the clipboard. Now, you explain, why would we want to do this?
So I've been doing this actually a lot for troubleshooting with app developers or website creators and accessibility testing. So if I'm testing a web page, I will want to copy the last spoken phrase to the clipboard to share that with the accessibility testing people. And another reason that you might want to do this is I have my speech currently set at 70%. I slow it down to 50 in most screen reader demos. Sometimes those 70% things just say something a little too fast. You're like, what did you just say? And so I have to copy that to the clipboard, drop it into drafts, and then I read it character by character. So those are a couple of reasons why you might want to do this.
Awesome. That's perfect. Now, you also have a JAWS power tip thanks to Freedom Scientific. How do you copy down the last spoken text to the clipboard?
Yeah, so I will start this by saying, when I say JAWS key, I mean either your insert key or your caps lock key, depending on the way you have your JAWS set up. So you press JAWS key in the space bar, and this will open your layered keyboards. Tap the letter H, and this will take you to your keyboard history. You can use your arrow keys to navigate this, or your selection keys to select text and copy it from there. Now, here's a couple of things that might help speed up the process, because, you know, 2023, the year of simplicity. Press JAWS key plus space and the letter and the keystroke shift H, and this will clear out everything that's in the speech history. So then you can have JAWS read what you want to copy, do JAWS key space control H, and this will copy everything in the speech history to your clipboard for you automatically.
Nice. That's an expansive feature. If you wanted to do this on the Mac, how could you accomplish that?
Yep, this would be VO, and when I say VO key, I mean either Control Option or Caps Lock, Shift C, and this will copy the last phrase to the clipboard as text, and then VO, Shift, and Z, like Zulu, will copy the last spoken phrase as an audio file to your desktop, so you can send someone, like an app developer, exactly what you hear with VoiceOver while you're using it.
Fantastic. All right, real fast. What if you want to do a copy that last spoken text to clipboard on iOS Q? And is there a way to do it on Android?
Yep. So three-finger quadruple tap. The last spoken phrase will be repeated, followed by the text copied to clipboard. And on Android, you go into the TalkBack Actions menu and choose the copy last phrase to clipboard option.
Wow, we did it.
Oh my gosh. He's so good. Michael, thank you so much. We'll chat with you next week.
No problem.
I think it's because it's cold. He's only good because it's cold. He's awake.
I want to get back under the duvet. Michael Babcock joining us, no matter how cold it is, every Monday to talk all things tech. And we cover a lot, so make sure to check out the podcast.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And that's for sure, because we went fast with those last tips. So you can go back and do that, like Ramya suggests. Check out the podcast. When we return, who's making their way to the Super Bowl? Brock Richardson. He tells us in the sports update ahead next in 2 minutes.
Stick around and learn something new. Kelly and Ramya return with more in a moment.
Well, on the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, I did it. As I mentioned, got the AirPods, but also had to get a new phone. The iPhone 8 just wasn't cutting it after four or five, whatever amount of years I've had it. Brock Richardson, our next guest, made a remark to me at one point as he laughed. You're due for a real culture shock. It was great laughter he had over it. I think, Ramya, no home key. I had to get, but I spent the time asking questions about that. And also
Face ID.
I will admit, the Face ID.
What else did you miss out on? Did you have the earphone?
I never had the island. Yes, I did. But on my old one, on the one I had, I just had the headsets, which sort of still work. It still sort of works because I still have the adapter.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to those AirPods going in and testing those out and learning all about that. So there was a lot. The new thing, that island thing that they have on the 14 Pros up in the 14 level of phones is something also to get used to that tells you where everything is. So kind of nice. But I will say, it's time to talk sports with the guy from the neutral zone, culture shock himself, as we start the week off with the latest sports updates. Here's Brock Richardson.
I'm Brock Richardson, and I love sports. As a former pro athlete, I bring you the sports angle beyond the headlines, plus parasport news and analysis.
to get Brock back for laughing at me. I try to get him to laugh just before he goes on the air. It's always fun to see if he can stop in time. Richardson, did you stop in time?
Of course. And you know what? I'm gonna slide in on this tech discussion, because the thing that bothered me going from my old 12 to the 14 was like the text messages.
I know.
Okay, well, I'm not as old as the 6 or the 8 to the new one, but for me, it was the text messages were at the bottom of my home screen as opposed to, like, the middle. So, like, I found with my eyes, I'm like, where are they? And now that I'm used to it, if it goes back in 2 or 3 generations when I'm due for a new one, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, you asked my wife, I was going nuts for like 48 hours going, I can't deal with this. I can't do it. But I'm good now. So, yeah.
Mine moved Safari around. I have no idea where that is, but I'll find
it. Was it that big of a deal for you?
No.
Like the Switch?
No. Not at all. Not really. And again, it helps when you update your phone. You start getting the glimpses of the different things.
Yeah.
So that helps. Sir, let's jump into your leadoff item so we don't cheat our sports fans out of their sports. Where are we starting?
Yeah. Let's start with 2 para-sports stories. The first one is to tell you that the para-Nordic skiing in Sweden has been a real success for Canada. We have got 5 bronze, 6 silver, and 7 gold medals. And there's been a lot of repeat customers in the medal category, which is really nice to see, and I love it. You always say Canada's good in winter sports. Well, this holds true here in this case. So off to a good start there for that.
And people could watch that, couldn't they, Brock? Right? They could actually watch it online. I'm sure that really piqued an interest, because that would be a fun thing to enjoy.
That one, they could not.
No.
Or I could not find where it was online. It was being brought updated on the Canadian Paralympic Committee Facebook page, but I could not find where that was. In fact, when I was Googling para-Nordic skiing world championships, it would bring me to the world championships of the conventional skiing. So I don't know. This was a bit of a poorly done event. That's why I wanted to highlight it, and I've been doing so all week long. The other event that you could see online was the Canadian men's basketball team had a 6-game series against Japan, and they won all 6 of their games. And
we're talking wheelchair basketball.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Wheelchair basketball. And they won all 6 of their games. And I got to tell you, we had Patrick Anderson a couple of weeks ago on the Neutral Zone, and he is such a wonderful human being. I got to meet him, got to shake his hand, say hello when we saw him. It was so wonderful. And if you haven't seen the AMI TV Sitting Tall documentary that was done on him, I highly, highly recommend it, because it was very well done. It was on recently, last Friday, I believe, and you can get it on the app and all that jazz. But he's a really, really good person, and you know, it was nice to see the team succeed and do well. And a lot of people were asking me, yeah, but what was this event for? It was purely for reps, like purely for just, you know, getting them warmed up for world championships later this summer.
Nice.
and it's good, you know. So
yeah, that's the one thing people have to understand, the difference when we talk about para sports and just the availability. There's not the same flux of money. So if you're going to get those reps, yeah, you may have to be in one city instead of doing a tour around in a country of 3 or 4 cities playing games, right?
Yeah, because those events are like those gym rentals are not cheap to do for those days. So, you know, splitting the costs between yourself and Japan, and they had, you know, the real officials, if I can put it that way, that no wheelchair basketball. So it was a very well done event. And man, that Para Pan Am Center is beautiful in downtown Toronto. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out, because it is state of the art technology in a place like that.
Yep, it is. And in that vicinity, we have another para sport game happening. This is in Durham region, though. So give us a debrief on this.
Yes, so there is a ton of sports, including five-a-side soccer, boccia, goalball, alpine Nordic skiing, sitting volleyball, para ice hockey, vision-impaired curling, wheelchair basketball, adaptive climbing, equestrian, and power hockey. Those last three that I gave you are test events, if you will, so they're not part of it normally, but they're giving those last three events a chance to show themselves off and say, you know, maybe we could be a main staple in this event.
Well, it's nice because it's a great venue for trying certain sports out and seeing how they fly, or being showcase sports for people to come in. And how do you do this? What's adaptive climbing? And we've heard a lot about it. And it's really cool that this is a great venue. You have memories, Brock, some very fond ones of this event when you were an athlete. Could you share with us?
Yes. So this event that I just promoted is happening this coming weekend, the beginning of February. So the 3rd to the 5th, which is in Durham region. As for my memories, very fond. And I'll tell you why. Because at that event, they make it feel as much as a Paralympic Games in Ontario as possible. And that's a really good thing for people who tend to want to say, okay, you know, how is it going to feel? You get an accreditation that goes around your neck. You have to scan it here, there, and everywhere. And it's sort of that starting point for people who might think, do I want to pursue this at a higher level? Of course, it's not to the same level. I'm not trying to you know, say that. But I think for me, the biggest memory was it sort of prepared me for the Paralympics, just on the level of, you know, security, going through checkpoints and those things. I mean, I did well at my fair share of parasport events and all that. But the thing that sticks out to me is the whole, you know, the Paralympic feel as best as they can. And I think that's a real good thing that they've tried to do over the years and over time of this event.
Yeah. I think it's important also because those who aren't thinking of the games going on further, it's a place like other people do to get involved in sport and have that championship feeling, that kind of play just as that person. You know, we get so envious of people that can go out. What are you doing tonight? Oh, my softball team has a game, you know, over at so-and-so park. The regular average things everybody else gets to do. This is one of those venues where, you know, like you said, it's a different level and people get a chance to experience. Rum, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say that they do a fabulous job mixing in the, as you're saying, Brocky, the professional, the well-organized, the, you know, keeping in touch, keeping track of medals, all this other stuff, as well as making it feel like a community event and, you know, recreational for those who aren't going to compete past this point. But really, like, especially in goalball, that's the first thing that comes to mind for me. There are so many professional athletes coming to this, making sure that they have their prerequisites before going into nationals and qualifying beyond that. So, you know, Don Terry, who's one of the main organizers, and everybody else who puts these games together does an incredible, impeccable job. So thanks for shouting that out.
Totally. Yeah. No, it's a good chance for the community to you know,
like,
see
support
these sports, see the high level. And that's what I like about these games. But
there's a lot of spectatorship at these games. A lot.
100%.
Yeah. Keep going with the parasports stuff. Last week, we got into the convo of the Canadian Paralympic Committee's Athlete Council. So you wanted to get to the point of talking about whether you've been a part of any of these athlete councils, and have you?
Yes, I've been a part of two. I one of them is not a athletes council per se, but I'll start with the one that was. The one that was Bocce Canada, and one of our biggest acceptance was getting funding for sports assistance for people who travel with the athlete, and giving them a little bit of money to be able to support themselves while being on this. Because before that, it was more, you got to volunteer, you got to take time off work, you got to do this. Now, if you made over a certain amount of income, you weren't eligible for that. It was then on you to supply that. But if you made under a certain amount, as most things with the government, you are eligible for more. So that gave a little bit of a $500 boost per month for the athletes to give to their sport assistant just to help support them. So that's something that I was really, really proud of. The one that wasn't sport, which is almost very timely, given what happened to Hazel McCallion in the passing over the weekend, I was part of the Accessible Transportation Advisory Committee. And one of the people that I, quote unquote, fought with on that advisory committee was Hazel McCallion. And one of the things that I was able to help initialize in the region appeal was getting to be able to book your rides less than 12 hours in advance and guarantee your ride. Hazel McCallion at first didn't understand the value of it. And I literally said to her, okay, Hazel, so if you couldn't go somewhere and somebody called you up and said you want to go for dinner and it was under 12 hours, how would you feel? And she, after arguing for a little while, she said, sir, you have a point. And she put the rubber stamp on it. And so that's my fondest memory of Hazel McCallion. And I'm very sorry that she's gone, but 101 years, very well spent. Yeah. And she knew exactly what she was doing with her government dollars. Every year she was able to do this.
Very, very special lady who really spoke for having these events. Mm. Brock, we have only a couple of moments left here. What do you have for us in the NFL?
Well, we have our Super Bowl set and ready. We're going to be seeing the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the matchup that I think, if you ask the NFL as the playoffs came to a close, they said, listen, which matchup would you want? This is the one they want. You've got two teams, high-powered offense. They just know what they're doing. They can run the ball at you. They can throw it. It's just going to be a bash out Super Bowl, and I'm looking forward to it. And something that we got on doing, which we'll do again on Kelly and Ramia, is playing a little bit of the prop bets next week and deciding what the coin flip will be. And some of these bets, guys, as you might remember, are a bit ridiculous, but we've had some fun,
over the past
couple of years. So.
And before we run you out, what's coming up on the Neutral Zone?
What's coming up on the Neutral Zone is exactly what you previewed a little bit, in that we're going to be talking to James Titmarsh and Don Terry about the upcoming Durham games that are going to be taking place again February 3rd to 5th.
All right. Well, awesome. Good luck on the show. Brock Richardson hits us with the latest sports updates on Mondays. Plus, check him and the gang out on the Neutral Zone Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and available on YouTube as a video podcast. Up next, Milena Casanova-Schutz talks to us about her journey of retiring her guide dog, Lewis, and bringing home her new guide dog. We'll talk to her next on the program.
Keep it here for more of Kelly and Ramya on AMI TV.
Do yourself a favor. Catch The Pulse this Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific on AMI Audio. This week, Joita talks to Paralympic swimmer Danielle Campbell McLeod about her new memoir, Resurrections, My Will to Survive. That's The Pulse, this Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific on AMI Audio, also available as a podcast and on YouTube. Kelly McDonald here with Ramya Muthan.
It honestly feels like forever since we last checked in with our next guest, and I think that we need to make it a rule that we check in with her more often. Milena Kazanavich is a community reporter. You still hear her voice, but on Now with Dave Brown, she brings news for us, the audience from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and she retired her lovely guide dog, Louie, last year and went through the process of bringing her new current guide dog, Hope. So we're going to find out more about this journey. Milena, thanks for coming on the show.
Hello, you beautiful, delicious people. It's so long.
See, I know. It's always been so long.
It's double trouble in the audio, in the station there today, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And now on TV. So double trouble.
All right. Well... All right, hit me what you want to know.
Okay, so firstly, let's talk about when you officially retired Louie, and How did that process start for you? Because everybody goes through something different, right? Sometimes it's just the age of the dog. Sometimes you start to notice things with the, how they're working. What was it for you and Louis?
Yeah. Well, generally for me, and I just want to make it very clear to the audience today that, you know, each individual decides for themselves. Mm-hmm. There are variations between schools. So I speak specifically on the Seeing Eye, which is the very first guide dog school founded in 1929 in Morristown, New Jersey. And that is where I have gone, trained, and worked with all four of my guide dogs. So for me, I have generally liked to retire my guide dogs a little earlier because I feel if they've given me five hard years of working, doing their job, you know, I like to start the process. So I did. Yeah. Did not really finish, and then we got COVID. And part of me felt guilty because Louis was still, you know, doing his job. It's mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know. So I postponed it a little bit. And then in the next 2 years of COVID, it was clearly starting to show that I'd pick up the harness. He'd be like, yeah, whatever, mom. Okay, I'm going to stay on the bed. You go do what all you right. need to do. Okay? If I got his
have
leash,
fun.
She'd be if I got his leash, she'd be running to the door because he knew we were going for a walk just with leash and my white cane, which is what I like to do with a lot of my older dogs. So it was a bit of a roller coaster getting that whole process through. I did get a call back in March of last year, but I wasn't mentally ready. There was stuff that was going through my life, and I knew that if I went back then in March, I would have failed the team, the school, and my journey through life. So I postponed it, thinking I'd be called in the next month or so, and it didn't happen again because of backlogs.
Right, because of the pandemic itself.
Yeah. So it didn't happen until November, and this is you know, and there's bits of me still working through it a little bit, but retirement.
Sure.
So I was lucky that Louis has gone to my parents, so I do get to see him. Mm-hmm. Generally, they like that you don't see your guide dog for at least 6 months, your retired dog, just so that they have that time to adjust with the new family and location. So Louis is with my parents. Ruling the roost, dictating when that refrigerator is open and closed.
As I said
to Dave a couple of weeks ago, I get phone calls from my father with all sorts of profanities. Your bleeping dog ate my sandwich. Your bleeping dog's in my bed. And apparently he and the family dog have taken over his side of the bed.
So here's a question for you with this, okay? I'm curious, since you had the policy, Kenneth, and I'll say policy for sake of a better word, forgive me with that one, 5 years and you felt, okay, you've done the work with me with your prior dogs. Did you ever get pushback? Because most people tend to have the dogs 8, 9, as long as the health will allow and the skills of the dog. And I've not heard anyone say, well, yeah, I want to prefer to go 5, 6 years. Did anyone ever give you pushback? Did you ever, I know you've probably had to defend that decision in that sense with other people just in their own opinions, but the guide dog school, no problem there?
No, never. And this is the beauty of the Seeing Eye. Your dog is your dog. Your decision is your decision. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind my process. I mean, I guess I should explain so doing a whole mental check with me, to really understand this is what I want. Am I going to go in and train with a new guide dog or not? So by the time I'm through after that first fifth year, it's about 6 years in as a team. And you know, at that point, the dog is already 7.5, 8 or 9, depending on when your dog goes out of the school. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, Kelly, how long, I don't want to work for the rest of my life. I want to retire.
No.
Right.
Exactly.
So,
and
like Louis, you want to enjoy your retirement.
Yeah, that's right. And you want to go steal sandwiches out of the fridge or off the table or whatever. You got to have enough limberness in you to do so.
Yeah. Melina, another follow-up question from what you were explaining, because you said you use your white cane and you take your dogs on walks on leash. How is that part for you? You know, is it always a bit rusty when you pick up your white cane again, or do you have a lot of exposure to your cane even while you are using your guide dogs?
No, not in the beginning, but I would say probably after about 1.5 to 2 years, I'm this is going to sound really weird, night walker, so I like walking in the dark at night. Mm-hmm. Not that it matters to me. But so, you know, I'll just take the white cane and the dog on a leash. Gives the dog an opportunity to relax, unwind, and be a dog. It's amazing because they still maintain that whole thing of staying within that, on that sidewalk and not veering off and then stopping at the curb, even though I have my cane. So it makes me feel, you know, like a bit of a sighted person walking my regular dog. Mm. And so I do that. Yeah.
And so it's should also, we go on to the... Yeah, we'll move on. It's a nice, a little less stress too, doing the evening walk or whatever. Now enter Hope, your new dog.
Enter Hope. Enter a bundle of Tasmanian devil, I swear. So Lewis is a shepherd, and I've sent pictures along. Don't ask me what's up there, because, you know, we're all blind here. But so Hope is a little black lab, first lab in my life ever.
Oh, wow.
I've always had shepherds. Never had a lab, never lived with a lab. And for me right now, it feels like I've got a pocket full of wiggly worms I'm sticking my hand into.
Right.
This thing does not stop wagging and wiggling. She will be three on St. Patty's Day. And she's all of 53 pounds. So she's the shortest dog I've had. She's also the fastest dog I've had. Mm. And I'll tell you, people, at the age of 51, I'm not sure if I've not bitten off a little more than I can chew.
You don't like the power walk / runs?
Well, it always has been the stipulation for me. My dog must be fast for the power walk.
Right.
At this point, I feel like I'm jogging.
Sure.
That is beautiful. That's great on the selection for.
Yes. So, but the follow-up to all that is I'm still working my body through. So November 14, I ended up with COVID. And I was due to fly out to Morristown, New Jersey, November 28, and I did. And being immunosuppressed, COVID had hit me pretty hard. Now, once you get into training at the Seeing Eye, the first day is everybody's arriving, and the second day, and for 17 days after, you're up at 5:30 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, which is the last time for relieving your dog, and then you can go to bed or do whatever you wish. And it's only one day off, and it's full tilt. 5:30 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. Mm. Lectures, obedience training, grooming, root, right? And
this is all post-COVID.
This is all post-COVID. This is all, I honestly don't know how I survived, but upon our return, it took me 3 days just to breathe, and we're hitting Christmas, and it's been a rough road. You know, Hope and I are doing very well. She's adjusted very clearly. And it's still on my adjustment. We're working some crossing issues out, but that's due to the infrastructure in Halifax. We have misaligned streets, very large curb cuts, that instead of having two curb cuts for a straight crossing for a person with the white cane or a guide dog, it's just one big pie. So try and align yourself.
Yeah.
Because contrary to most people's belief, and I'm sure the audience does not know, your dog does not enter the intersection straight. Your body, your shoulders, your feet have to be straight for that crossing, and the dog leads you out. So if I'm just misaligned a little bit, Hope's going in the direction where my shoulders are pointing.
Right.
Right. Yep.
So we're working through it. Lucky me, my Seeing Eye instructor is coming out tomorrow. Sending in the reinforcements, and we'll be troubleshooting this team because I refuse to fail us as a team, and I need a long good 5 years out of this one, which I'm pretty sure she's going to refuse to retire anyway, no matter what I say.
I think
to her.
So. She'll keep you running for sure. Yeah.
Yes. I never fail to recognize how young these dogs are coming into the relationship. Right, like she's still growing into her adult dog self.
Yes, but she was held back a little bit because they were looking for the perfect match. I was joking at the Seeing Eye. I said, so you waited for the Canadian. Here's the sucker. You get this one.
The Canadian runner.
Wow.
You know, like I said, she'll be three in March. That's in the couple. So she is a little bit older out of the gates, but it's okay. Yeah. She's super smart. Super, right. Super smart. Yeah. And super stubborn. We've been matched very well.
So I didn't want to say it.
Glad you said it. When can she go and hang out with Lewis and they can complain to each other?
Well, they had an initial meeting with, and also the family dog Bella, and I did send a picture through with all dogs sitting in the line at Christmas. Nice. And yeah. That was the difficult part because, you know, I really had to try focus not to give attention to Lewis. He's my parents' dog now.
Sure.
And Hope had to be, you know, close to me, literally tied to my hip for the entire month duration of our first month home. So she tried to give him a little bit of a bark because she wanted to play and off her leash. And both dogs, Bella and Lewis, kind of backed up and said, well, what's this?
Yeah. So, Melina, it's cool because you've had several guide dogs and you kind of know what you're working with. You're seasoned. But you were also saying you refuse to, like, let this relationship fail and you really want this team, you and Hope, to work out. So are you hopeful for that? You feel encouraged?
I'm hoping for Hope. Yes, I think so. I think the problem is what happened, and I say this to everyone I speak who's considering or has returned with a guide dog, first or second, do not tell yourself little pretty lies. You'll work it out. Call your instructors. Mm. You know, each school has a different options. I have never failed. I put that call in almost immediately. I need a follow-up, get somebody out here. And right now at this point, I think a couple of our not so good crossings that we had, I ended up with anxiety and nervous and putting that right into the harness, which goes right into the dog.
Right.
And so due to me, we're walking a little bit like drunken soldiers across some intersections. Right. So once the instructor gets here, he will tell me what it is and how to perhaps even position myself better on some of our street crossings so that we can be a success.
Work with you in your environment.
Yeah, I also have it in my mind, you know, if this is not going to work, if this problem is not fixable, that decision will have to be made to return the dog with no shame and start the process again.
That's
because safety is of, you know,
exactly
foremost initial. Yeah.
Melina, thank you so much. We got to let you go. You're the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye. Check out Melina Kunzinavich's during her community reports on Now with Dave Brown once a month.
In the next hour, Danielle McLaughlin's with us. Grant Hardy, reporter for us, is also here. And, of course, right up next, we're going to visit and find out what's going on in Dawson with our community report. Stick around.
Keep it here for more of Kelly and Ramya on AMI TV.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.